Today on Real Radio.
He's not beating them up, though it's strong words, because he loves them so much. Listen, he's disciplining them, but he's not abusing them. He is speaking directly to them, not because he doesn't care for them, but because he does.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We've been looking at the last six verses of chapter 12. It's one of the many passages that remind us that we as believers are, quote, on display. In other words, the unbelieving world is watching us to see how we handle life's issues. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his multi-part series called By the Way You Walk.
By the way you walk, a lot can be known. If somebody's healthy, you can discern that by the way they walk. If somebody's sore or injured or somehow maimed or handicapped in some way, you can see that they're hurting. And what is manifested physically when the body's hurting, so the same is true spiritually. When we are not walking right with God, our witness will limp, as it were, and be powerless. We won't have the strength to do the walk that God has called us when we are not walking in His strength, walking under His influence and under His power. The apostle is really hitting the Corinthians, listen, not only in a strong way, but in a necessary way. He's not beating them up, though it's strong words, because he loves them so much. Listen, he's disciplining them, but he's not abusing them. He is speaking directly to them, not because he doesn't care for them, but because he does. He's God's man to them, that as they listen to his heart for them, they begin to detect, this man loves us more than we love ourselves. This man cares for our witness more than we do. And listen, what was good for the Corinthian church 21 centuries ago is certainly good for us today. The human heart doesn't change. Don't think for a moment that they were a bunch of knuckleheads walking around with toga robes on and, you know, eating pita. These were the ancient Greeks, where much of our thinking comes from. These guys were brilliant. That culture still influences the world today, and yet their hearts are just like ours. They needed conversion. They needed rebuking. They needed instruction. They needed repentance. They needed encouragement. And it's exactly what you and I go through today. So follow along with me again as we look at this, but we end it today, part three. He says in verse 16, be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. Did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus and sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Of course, that's a big no. Did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification, for your building up. For I fear lest when I come, remember, Paul was making his third journey to them, I shall not find you as such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions. In other words, when I show up, I'm afraid you guys haven't gotten your act together. I'm afraid there's still going to be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults, lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you and I shall mourn. The word mourn means lament at a funeral. For many who have sinned before and have not repented of their uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness, which they have practiced. So church, let's dive into this, remembering simply this first argument, that when we talk about walking with God in this world, it is God's desire that not only you and I walk in this world, but that you be seen walking with God in this world, that your family can identify, dad, mom, brother and sister, they're walking with God. It's something that's known, that as we walk with God, it's a witness. And we saw that last time. It is a living witness that people look and they say, oh my goodness, they've been with Jesus. Look at their life. I want to have a life like that. They may not throw that out right away, but when they see you suffer through your financial troubles or your marital issues, or they see you go through cancer, or they see you go through the issues with your kids or with your home life or whatever it is, they're watching. And as you come through it and they see after the weeks, after the months, maybe after the years, God will open up a door and they'll say, you know, how did you guys make it through that? It's a witness that God is using you. You're walking in this world, and we saw that. And then we saw in verses 18 to 19, and that's where we left off, that there are passions that drive your life. Number two, they can tell our walk by our passions. And this is where we ended last time. I read that litany of verses that, quite frankly, I'm very proud of you. I told the ushers to open up the doors because as I was going to go through them, you'd probably jump up and run out of the building because they're very serious things. But you didn't do that. You took it. Good for you. Good for us. Because God's word is true. God's word, it's not the words of men. It is his eternal truth. And when God speaks to us, because he loves us and he desires us to walk in the world in such a way that others come to know God, because listen, life and death is on the line. No, let me strike that. Eternal life and death is on the line. Every one of us in this room right now will live forever. You will never again, ever again be asleep or unconscious or in some annihilation state. The Bible makes it very clear in the book of Daniel chapter 12 and John chapter 5 that all of us will live forever. The Bible says some will live forever in heaven rejoicing with God, and others will live in a hell separated from God, alienated, lonely, empty, without anyone else forever. Without God. But we all live forever. But God wants you to live with him forever. And that begins right now. And we saw the grand difference of what it means to walk in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. And can I read it again just to get you all pumped up? Get your blood going before we get to the fun stuff? He says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the key to Christian life. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What a liberating statement that is. Now, listen, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Pause right there. The Spirit of God, when you let him lead your life, you will walk in victory, you will walk in spiritual success, and you will have the power to say to the things, the appetites of your old nature that still talks to you, to sit down, take a back seat. You're no longer in control of my life, desire to go drink, party, whatever. Get out of here. The Bible says that's reckoning the old man to be dead. And you've got that power as a believer. And that's what he was talking about. But watch this. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. It means everybody knows this. Which are these? Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lewdness. Idolatry. Sorcery or pharmakeia. Drug use. Hatred. Contentions. Jealousies. You get tired reading it. Outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, orgies is the word there, and the like, of which I tell you before, just I've told you in times past, that those who practice ethos, lifestyle, this is their life, this is what they do. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. They're not going. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the opposing power of that, is love, joy, peace, Long-suffering. By the way, none of us possess these things of our own. This is the presence of God in our lives that comes out of us. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. Think of that. Ten Commandments, as I said last week, has got to bow in the presence of that power. It's amazing. And those who are of Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions, there you go, and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also, what's the word? Walk in the Spirit. He goes on, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Now listen, he's speaking to the Corinthians. No fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, or sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And then remember we ended here, verse 11, and such were some of you. Say amen. Amen. Yes. Man, did that list beat you up? It's like, psh, psh, psh. And then you're just about ready to pass out. And then Paul says, hallelujah, but such were some of us. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And notice how it happened. And by the Spirit of God. And now that leads us right into the continuance and finish of our study. Look at verse 18. By the way that you and I walk, they can see our passion. And as you walk, you and I are to walk in the same steps. Will you circle that word there in your Bible, verse 18, the same steps? What does that mean? It means to place your foot, obviously, it means to place your foot in steps that are ahead of you. It implies that someone's gone before you. This is very comforting. Have you ever walked on a very, very sandy beach or a very, very muddy shore of something? Like you walk, maybe you go to some canyon and there's a riverbed and it's all muddy. What do you seek to do? You seek to put your foot on things that are firm. And if you, little kids are masters at this, by the way. Nobody teaches them this, they automatically do it. If you walk on a sandy shore, the little kids behind you, they will hop, right? They'll hop into your footstep. Why? Because they're smart. Because they're smart. Because someone has gone ahead of them and they have dealt for them with the obstacle. Someone has gone ahead of them to knock down the obstacles. They get to go easier. When someone has walked ahead of you, the path that you're on, if you put your foot in their step, it's easier. You have to exert less effort if you walk in someone else's footsteps. And the whole word implies this, that Jesus has gone before us. The Holy Spirit, as it relates to the church at Corinth and to the church at California, the Spirit has gone before us. So that when God says, come and walk with me, come and follow me, it's not that we have to pioneer some new ground. We don't have to knock ourselves out. And listen, please get this. Our Christian advance should never be something that we are doing alone and it's so brutal that we'll never make it. No, how can that be? God has gone ahead of us. Listen, if you're doing Christianity that way and you're absolutely defeated, you're doing it wrong. Walk in his steps. And Paul says to them, didn't we walk in the same steps? Translation, we're following Jesus. As we follow Jesus, follow us. Walk with us. It's an awesome thing to consider. Did we not walk in the same steps? Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, come and follow me, he said to the disciples, and I will what? Make you to become fishers of men. And I love verse 18. And immediately these grown men with jobs, with families to feed, left their nets and followed Jesus. Isn't that bizarre? That's powerful. What in the world was going on? You know what's cool, what's not going on? Jesus doesn't say to them, hey, you know, if you follow me, I'll give you $50. Hey, if you just mail in this much money every month, you can come and follow me. Jesus didn't even say, listen, if you don't follow me, I'm going to cut your head off. Jesus just simply said, come and follow me. Some of you have heard that call, haven't you? Jesus simply said, come and follow me. He didn't say, you know what, reach into your pocket now and pull out all the money you can. Dig deep and give it to God. He didn't say that. He said, come and follow me. Isn't that just like him? Jesus also said in John's gospel, my sheep hear my voice. they follow me. That's awesome. The word implies in John's gospel that when Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, at no time does Jesus have to yell, hey! Can you imagine Jesus? Hey, do you hear my voice? Why aren't you responding? You, over there, hey, come on! He doesn't do that. He simply says, why? It's a supernatural affair. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. They'll follow me. Come and follow me. That's the invitation. It's not a mandate. It's not a pressure. It's not this tyranny. He invites you to come and follow him. And they responded, and they got up, and they followed him. Grown men got up and followed him. It's an awesome thing to consider. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test all things. Listen, test all things, hold fast to what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. How do we walk with God in the steps of God? Keeping this in mind, wherever Jesus goes, he's going to lead you in the right path. Listen, my friends, whenever he is walking, put your feet in his steps and you'll be safe. Follow him. And by doing that, you can understand this. You can do exactly as that verse in Thessalonians talks about. You can test all things. As you walk with God, as you're confident that you're getting up each day, walking with Christ, and issues come, pressures come at work, things come in life, and you begin to test them in light of God's word because you're walking with him. How do I respond to this thing? What's going on regarding this issue? How would Jesus act in this moment of time? This person is saying this to me. I know how I want to react, but how does God's word tell me to react? You're walking in his steps. And then that Bible tells us that we are to be holding fast to that which is good. That implies that we know what's good, that we have the word of God. We know it, and we're hanging on to it. You hang on to it with a death grip in this life. And then the Bible there tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22, that we are abstained from all forms of evil. This is a tremendous instruction for us. And that's how we walk with him, to walk in those steps that God has laid down for us. And that's a very valuable thing to realize, because as we walk in this life, there's a constant barrage of things seeking to pull us off that course. Just hang on to the word of God, but that presupposes you know it. But rejoice in this. In fact, I love this fact and this truth. Right when Jesus had been resurrected from the dead and the whole flurry of that Sunday morning was going on, there was a lot of things happening. There's a lot of words being shared. People are running back and forth through the tomb. People are talking. And I love, there's that manifestation from heaven. And it says, the announcement to the disciples is, go tell the others that Jesus has gone ahead of them into Galilee. Stop right there for a moment. He's the resurrected Jesus Christ. The word to a bunch of confused disciples came from the angels themselves, and they said, hey, get going, head up north. He's gone before you. And I can honestly tell you in life that God has never been working in my life when things are a hurry. I've just never experienced that. I'm prone to hurry. I'm very impetuous that way. Tomorrow's, it's been a long 6, 7, 8 days. Tomorrow's my day off. I can't wait. Now, Lisa has told me, she said this morning, you are sleeping in. Now, number one, I do need to sleep, but I don't like to sleep because I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. And yet she still will not understand, because when she rolls around, she sleeps in all the way till about 7. But when she wakes up, I won't be there. I will have been raptured into the backyard or the garage or something. And the first thing out of her mouth will be, what time did you wake up? Ah, don't worry, I slept in. For me, 6 o'clock, that's like, the day's halfway over. It's already 6 o'clock, okay? It's that. What am I talking about? It's this. Lord, what are we doing today? What are we doing today? But I have found out, even in the excitement of having a day off and what are we going to do today, God's never in a hurry. He's always trying to convince me, Jack, just walk in my steps. Now, you might say, Jack, on your day off, you're going to be concerned about walking in his steps? It's a day off. Listen, because it's a day off, I want to be super sure I walk in his steps. Because if you walk in his steps, you're going to see cool stuff. great things are going to happen. You'll be right in the middle of his will. It doesn't matter if you're flying a kite or you're working hard at your office or whatever it might be. Do you understand that? Lord, you've promised to go ahead. You've promised to direct my steps. You've promised to ordain the way that I should go. And so, God, I bring you as I am. I delight myself in you. And, Lord, I'm just going to walk with you right now. Christian, I believe if you pray that prayer unto the Lord and walk with him because he goes ahead of you, that you will not fail. He will keep you, as Jude 24 says, from falling. I believe he's very faithful to do that. Next, verse 19, as you walk in the same Christ. Can you circle that? That sounds silly, doesn't it? But not at all, not in our day and age. Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? Paul's being sarcastic. He's saying, do you think we have to offer up some excuse to you guys because and offer some apology for how we've conducted ourselves? Are you kidding? We have sought to be flawless in front of you. We speak before God in Christ. That's an awesome statement. Paul is calling heaven and earth to be witness of his witness. This is a good man. Paul can say, I'm asking heaven to bear testimony to how we lived our lives in front of you. But look at this. We do this in Christ. The example is Christ. It's all about showing Jesus. And he says, but we do all things, beloved or brethren, for your edification. Is that not like Jesus? Don't you think, listen, everything he did built people up in the right way. The woman caught in the act of adultery. You would not normally think that that event built her up. But let me explain it to you, I believe. She was caught in the act of adultery. It wasn't a rumor that she had committed adultery. She got caught. Can you imagine? Sheets flying, clothes blanketing up, shock, terror. You die in that culture for this. They drag her to Jesus, throw her down, and say, Moses demands that she be stoned to death. What do you say? What a pickle, huh?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called By the Way You Walk, a look at the last six verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. By the Way You Walk is a multi-part series taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse exploration of this New Testament letter, and we'll continue with more of By the Way You Walk on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, in recent weeks, we broke from our regular study and spent some time in a series called Politics and Your Faith. Many of our Real Radio listeners took advantage of our special offer at the time to get your hands on that CD series. Now, in this election year filled with political posturing, how is it that we are to select our leaders from a biblical Judeo-Christian perspective? Are there guiding principles we see in Scripture? Well, we wanted to let you know about a message by Pastor Jack delivered just a couple weeks ago called Understanding Where You Belong, the Christian in This World. Pastor Jack truly believes that the church is to fulfill our proper calling to be a biblical influence for righteousness in these last days. Now, you can watch this critical and timely message by Pastor Jack by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then simply click on The Christian in This World. It's a must-see message for every American, particularly the American believer. Now, maybe you'd like to share it with a friend. If that's the case, we are going to make this DVD of Pastor Jack's message available for a gift of any amount to the Real Life Ministry. We just want you to watch it and share it with the people you know and love. So visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org to hear Pastor Jack's message called Understanding Where You Belong, the Christian in This World. Or again, if you're requesting the message on DVD, mention it by name, Understanding Where You Belong, the Christian in This World, or very simply, the Christian in This World, when you call or write. Our address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. That's Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our phone number, if you should ever need it, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.